Dear Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you, Lord God, for what you've yet to do. Lord God, I ask you to decrease everything of Miriam, Lord God, and increase everything of you, Lord God. Let them not see me, Lord God, but let them see you, Lord God. Hide me behind the cross, Lord God. Let your word goes forth, Lord God, to your people, Lord Jesus. They're not mine. They belong to you. In your mighty and precious name, Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. He gave me a title. Sometimes he gives me one word. He gave me a couple of words today. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, and having an unwavering confidence, boldness, and courage in one's faith and believing that God, that the God I serve is stronger and mightier than the hands of man. When you are not ashamed nor unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have to be living a lifestyle in the obedience towards God in order to stand up against what will try to come up against what you are actively proclaiming in your life. In Romans 3:22-24 in NLT, we are made right by God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And it is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned, we all have fallen short of God's glory and standard. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. Ain't that awesome? While we were yet still in our sins, Jesus was dying for us. He was making sure when we finally got up out of our mess that we have a right to the tree of life. We have a right to be able to live and not just live, go on and proclaim the gospel that he has left behind for us to do. So you see, when you come up out of the sin, it becomes your duty, not only your duty, your responsibility to live an unashamed lifestyle for Jesus Christ, proclaiming the new life that you now live for him. When you decide to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and not be ashamed of the new you, in 2 Corinthians, it talks about that in 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I love that. I love that because so many times people want to characterize you in the old man. They see you in the old state. They don't see you in the new. This verse makes the people that may be in your life, that may be around you, be it at your home, your family, your friends, especially on your job. People come up and ask you, what's up with you? You act a little different. What happened to you? You act like you brand new. You act like, you don't talk the same. You don't walk the same. You don't hang out with our same crew. You know, when we up in the break room, you kind of get over to yourself. You don't get in with the crowd. You kind of stand off to the side. Yeah, because I am new. I ain't cocky. I ain't all this and that, but I know who I am and I know where he has brought me from. I know where he has brought me from the penalty of sin. So therefore, I choose not to associate in that realm. I love you. I pray you get the same salvation that I got. But right now, I have to stand over here. I have to be separated from you because I can't allow anything, any kind of sin, the kind of stain, any kind of smell, any kind of just feel, any kind of just something just to gravitate towards me to where I'm like, something just strange weed in the garden. You know what I mean? Strange, something ain't right. Something just ain't feeling good. So therefore, you have to make sure you are checking yourself, even in every surrounding that you're in. You know, because when you wake up in the morning, you got to make sure you're putting on everything. You're putting on that armor because why? You are getting ready to go out into the world. You're getting ready to go out in your home. It don't just have to be in the outside. You got to get up against what is standing in front of you in your home because he's waiting. As soon as you open your eyes, he's like, ready, let's go. batter up, let's go, you know, but you got to be ready with your whole defensive armor on to say, you know, not today, not this morning. I got everything on. I am covered from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. I'm ready. I got you. I know where I'm supposed to be. I know I'm in right standing. I know where I'm supposed to be in this day and in this time right now in Jesus. You have to decide to want to walk new. You have to decide to want to be new. It's not only just saying you're new. It's a thing that you put on. It's something that, you know how you put your coat on and it's cold outside? It's something you put on. You don't want to take it off. You just want to sleep in it. You just want to engraft it. You just want it just to kind of like your skin, how your skin is, and it just kind of melts to you, how it just still sticks to you. That's what you want. You want the change in you to do. That's what you want the new you to do. You want to be changed in Christ Jesus. And you want to make sure you're not ashamed of who you've been changed into. It's no shame to be changed into Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 4:16, it says, but it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by his name. Praise God. I am called redeemed. I am called saved. I am called one of his children. I am called the apple of his eye. I am in Christ. We are in Christ. Once you decide to say, hey, I'm no longer to the sin, no longer to this lifestyle, I am deciding to take on the cross. I am deciding to take on his sufferings. I am deciding to live an unashamed life and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of who he is and who I am in him. Therefore, you can stand boldly against whomever's going to come up against you, because why? You have already got the deity inside of you to be able to proclaim what he already has told you to do. But you got to make sure you got it inside of you. Inside of you. And don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. I tell you, just like I told you that one time I was at the store, I had to stand for Christ out of the blue. You know, somebody come up to me and I had to stand for Christ. And I wasn't ashamed to stand there and tell him, no, he did do that. But let me tell you what he did do. This is what happened. You say, well, what about communion? It was wine. I said, no, that what God did was unfermented wine. Yeah, he turned the water into wine, but it was unfermented. There was no alcohol in it. So no, I don't want any alcohol. I'm good. You do you, but I'm going to do Christ. I was unashamed of the gospel. And that's what you got to do. You got to be unashamed when your friends, you know, we got these friends that want to hang on to us. Sometimes you cannot hang on to everybody. Sometimes you got to cut people apart. Jesus did not come to be your friend. Jesus came with a sword. He came to cut people like away from you, because you cannot walk this walk with everybody trying to leech onto you with the old person, because that shame, that sin is going to cling to you. It's going to clutch onto you. So therefore, and then you're like, what is this weight? What is this? This heaviness. I cannot move. I cannot. Look who's clinging to you. Look what's beside you. Have you cut that sin? Have you cut that shame that you once was in away? Have you came over to the cross? Have you came over and let that other thing alone that's been trying to bombarding you down? You know, because everybody wants a friend. But let me tell you, get a friend in Jesus. Get a friend in the saints. Get a friend, you know, spirit, no spirit. Get a friend by who God allows you to be around. You know, I don't associate myself with a whole lot of people. My mama used to tell me, said, your friends, you can count them on your hands and you're going to have fingers left over. God rest her soul. She was never lying. Hallelujah. And I understand as long as I kept the name, the main one, the main thing, which is Christ Jesus in my life, I was always going to have that friend no matter what, no matter what I went through, no matter what we go through. And we got to be not, don't be ashamed. Somebody come up to you. That's what I try to tell my daughter. Don't be ashamed. When you were in high school, that you saved. Don't be ashamed, you young. You know, we got our baby girl, Joella down here. She said, first thing, I want to sing. I love to sing. I love to praise the name of God. Come on, let's sing. You gonna sing? Come on. I'm not gonna stop nobody. I'm not gonna stop nobody's gifting them God. But the thing about it was, she was unashamed of who she was. 9 years old, unapologetic for the Christ that lives inside of her. Oh my God, that is awesome to be that age. You know, sometimes we're at the age that we are, and we sometimes want to call back when we get in certain circumstances because we don't want to make other people feel uncomfortable of who you are. No, what you're doing, you are denying the power that lives inside of you when you are denying to show who you are. That's not being able to say, hey, I'm Jesus. No, they can... They can see who you are just by the way you are, how you come across somebody. I know you of God. I know God lives in you. You know, Peter tells us not to be ashamed, but to glorify, God. Peter was the main one who was ashamed. He was ashamed of Jesus Christ. He denied him. Y'all can read this in Matthew 26, 69 through 75 in your own time. But Jesus was so awesome. He restored Peter, asking him three times, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" You can read this in John 21, chapter 21, 15 through 19 in your own time. This tells us of the love of Jesus Christ that he has so much for us. He told Peter before the crow cries three times, "You're going to deny me." And he was like, "No, I'll never deny you. I'll go all the way with you. I'll never deny you." He was the radical one. You know, Peter was the one, you know, he cuss you out. You know, he keep it moving. You know, he was that. But Jesus was like, "Satan, I rebuke you. I have prayed for you. Because I know things." Basically, Jesus was saying, I'm paraphrasing, Jesus was saying, "I know things. I know what's going to happen. So therefore, I've prayed for you. But I'm telling you what, this is going to happen." You know? And when it did, what happened? What did Peter do? Peter ran and sulked and cried and was remorseful. And then when Mary and everybody came to the tomb and they saw that he was risen and along the walk the angel of the Lord said, "Go and tell my disciples to go meet me," and said, "And tell Peter," because Peter was no longer associated with the disciples. Why? Because he had denied him. You were no longer in the flock. You were no longer amongst the people. You had to be restored in order to be able to be called one of his own. That's why I say, don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed of who you are to be able to say, I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I am set free from the penalty of sin. Yeah, you know, sometimes we all go through things, but yet and still I praise God that we have a Savior that says, "Come on, get it right with me. Get it right with me. Get to the altar. Get to yourself. Get to him," because he said, "I will forgive you." But you gotta have that mindset to say, "Okay, I gotta get myself back right. I gotta get myself back right with him." And that's one thing that Peter understood. He said, I can't come around him. He's the Lord. I've denied him. I've soiled myself, basically. You know, I've damaged myself, you know, but he understood the love of Christ, as we should understand the love of Christ. Once you have gone on the left side, come on back to the right, because he's anxiously waiting for you. He's standing there waiting for you. Come on back home. Come on back into the fold. I'm ready to forgive you. I'm ready to bring you back in here, because why? I know what you need. I know what you're going to be standing in the need of. I've got you. In Romans 1, 16 through 17, he says, "For I am not ashamed of God, of the good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jews first, also the Gentiles." Verse 17, it says, "This good news tells us God makes right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scripture says, this is through the righteousness person has life." And then I loved it in the New King James Version. I'm sorry. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God of salvation, everyone who believes, for the Jews first and also the Greeks. For it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." That is dope. Paul said, "The just shall live by faith." I mean, if you are justified, if you made right in God's sight, you shall live by faith. And the faith is through Christ Jesus. In 2 Timothy, it says, in 1:8-12 in the Amplified Version, it says, "So do not be ashamed to testify about the Lord or about his prisoner. Talking about Paul. But with me, take your share of suffering for the gospel. Continue to preach regardless of the circumstances in accordance to the power of God. For his power is invincible. For he delivered us and saved us and called us holy and calling that leads to a consecrated life, a life set apart of purpose, not because of our works, but because of the personal merit where we do not do nothing to earn this, but because of his own purpose and grace, his amazing undeserved favor, which is granted to us in Christ Jesus before the world began eternal and ages ago. But now, the extraordinary purpose of grace has been fully disclosed and realized by us through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who through his incarnation and earthly ministry abolished death, making it null and void, and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of this good news regarding salvation. Verse 12, this is why I suffer as I do. Still, I am not ashamed, for I know him, and I am personally acquainted with him, who I have believed with absolute trust and confidence in him and in the truth of his deity. And I am persuaded beyond any doubt that he is able to guard that which have entrusted to him until that day when I stand before him. I know that's a lot, but when you're thinking about how he is I've entrusted him, he's got me, I don't have to worry, and then not being ashamed of him, and he has called me to be a teacher, he's called me to be an apostle, he's called me to be one of his, to be able to preach, to be able to teach out the gospel that he has laid out before us. I'm sorry, I get excited about that, because I'm thinking, you called little old me. I had a reading problem when I was a kid. I'm not supposed to be able to stand up here and read the gospel of Jesus Christ. I praise God for that, because I'm not ashamed of who I am. I'm not ashamed of where he's brought me from. I'm not ashamed to proclaim Miriam. Yes, I've had a past, but praise God, I got a newness in life. I praise God that I'm not the old woman. I'm a new woman. I'm a new creation through him, because while I have put on the new man and I've cast out the old man, to where I can stand before you flat-footed and unashamed and not unapologetic of the gospel of Jesus Christ and tell you flat-footed, yes, I live and die and breathe Jesus Christ, because there is no other name. There is no other way. There is no other life. I don't want another life. I don't want to live any other way. I want it in him. I want my family in him. You know, and I love that scripture says, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. No matter what comes, no matter what goes, we will serve the Lord. No matter sickness comes, we will serve you, Lord. No matter poverty comes, we will serve you, Lord. No matter the afflictions come, we will serve you, Lord. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of who I am. I am not ashamed. People want to say, oh, look at First Lady, she down there just dancing around. No, you don't know my testimony. You don't know what I've got, what I want to be able to stand here. You don't know the days I've laid in the hospital. You don't know the things that I've been through. But God, it is his saving grace. That's why I'm not ashamed to get out here and dance around. That's why I'm not ashamed to get out here and proclaim his gospel, sing his song, get up here and wave my hands. And if I couldn't say a word, I would just wave my hands. If I could not dance, I would stop my feet. If I couldn't do nothing, I would move my body. Why? Because I have been a testimony. I know what it's like to be abased. I know what it's like to be abound. But in all things, I give him glory. In all things, I give him honor. In all things, I give it to him. He is worthy. He is worthy of it all. He is worthy of it all. I don't know about you. I am not. I am unapologetic of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm unapologetic. I don't have a problem. When I'm in the store, somebody will say something to me. I say, God bless you. You have a great day. And they just look at me. I say, and the thing about it, I mean that because I don't know what your day is. I don't know what's going on with you. When I call the bill place, to call the bill place, you know, so many people, you know, you don't know what they've, the person before them, what they've went through. But what I do, I say, hey, how you doing? I'm Miriam. How you doing? How you having a good day and everything? Because you know what? A nice word, you never know what that's going to turn somebody. And then at the end of the thing, if I've not said it, they'll say back to me, you have a blessed day. You never know what that's going to do for somebody. You never know what a smile is going to do for somebody. You got to be ready to give out what God has given you. You got to be not ashamed to say, on your job, I am saved. I don't apologize for the woman of God that I am. I don't have a problem standing flat-footed and proclaiming God has blessed me on this job. God has blessed me to be able to, with the mentality to be able to do what he's allowed me to do. I'm not ashamed. If you can get that in your heart and in your soul and in your spirit to know if you are truly a blood-bought, changed Christian lover of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the word. I'm not ashamed that, yes, and I, yeah, you know how the enemy's going to come out and try you, but that's okay. That's okay. Because in Romans 5:4-6, it tells me, it says, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has given to us. You see, at just right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died the ungodly. He died an ungodly death for us. For us. So how dare we be ashamed of his gospel? We didn't lay there. He didn't say a mumble of word. I mean, people want to say put it in the hands, but you can't put it in his hands because the cartilage would have pulled the hand apart. Put it right here. Right here. And they hung up like that, and they put it like that. And we didn't go through all that, but he did. So how dare we be ashamed? Somebody say, "Are you a Christian?" Yeah, I'm a Christian. No, I'm a Christian. I ain't ashamed. I'm not ashamed. So how can we walk this walk, and be ashamed of what he went through? You know, last week we were holy, 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 you know, praise you, Lord God Jesus, you raised from the grave, you went through, you came, you died, you came, and you're walking amongst us, and you know what, he still is, when you go back in that mindset, he stayed around for us for 40 days, and in that 40 days, can you imagine what you was able to grasp from him? In the 40 days he walked here, he wasn't ashamed of walking around with holes in his body. He wasn't ashamed to say, yeah, I carried that cross. He wasn't ashamed, you know, when who was it that came and said, is that really you? Yeah, is that really you? I'm not gonna believe unless I put my hands in the hole. He said, here, touch me, here. But blessed are you that seen and haven't seen, but you believed. You believed without having to put your hands on me. You believed that I was who I was, and I said what I said I was going to do. And that's why we cannot be ashamed and unapologetic of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of what he's done in my life. I'm not ashamed of what he is doing and what he will do and what he's going to do. You got to know, hey, I'm going to walk this walk. I'm going to believe you. I'm going to trust you. I don't know what's going to happen. Like the baby's going to sing, I don't know what's ahead, but I know who he is. I don't know what's going to happen in our life, in our family life. I don't know what's going to happen in health. I don't know, but I know who does know who what's going to happen. And that's why I hold on to his unchanging hand. And I hold on to the gospel to know, hey, if I hold on to the gospel, then the gospel will hold on to me. Because you know what? You got to put some foot into the ground. You can't just think he's just going to just boom, boom. He's not a magic genie. This is not rub the lamp and he just pops out. No, you got to put something to the plow in order to be able to get something out. You know, so it's not like you go to the bank. I go to Chase. You go to Chase Bank, you put some money in, you expect to get some money out. But if you don't put nothing in, if you don't put the word in, if you don't put the time in, if you don't put the prayer in, you don't put the fasting in, you don't put the supping in, you don't put the time in with God, how do you think that God can, you know, he's just. Yeah, he's just. But there's so much more that you can receive. There's so much more that he has for us. There's so much more that he wants you to achieve. There's so much more that he wants you to get up out of this life. He did not go to the cross for us just to live a mediocre life. He said that I would give you life and that life more abundantly. He said, I would give you that life to where you will keep on living. You keep on pursuing. You keep on trudging. You keep on going no matter how hard it is, no matter what it feels like, no matter the pains, no matter the aches, no matter the needles, no matter the chemo, no matter what it is. He said, you just keep on. He said, I told you you would have an abundance of life. You just stay in me. You hold fast to me. Don't you give up. Don't you faint. Don't you quit. Don't you look back and say, oh, well, I'm just. No, you get back up and you keep on moving. You keep on plowing. You keep on searching. You keep on digging in. You keep on serving. You keep on doing what I have called you to do. From the foundation of the earth, I have called you. I have appointed you. I have anointed you. I have given you a reason. I've given you a purpose. Don't think your life is not purposeful. Your life is purpose. You got purpose for life. You were purposely made for Christ. You are purposely made. You are purposely made to walk the walk that he has placed in front of you. I can't walk your walk. You can't walk my walk. But we can only walk the walk that Christ has placed in front of us. And it's up to you that you pick up your cross. You pick up your life. You pick up what he's told you to do. And you do it. And you do it unashamed. You do it unapologetic. You do it no matter what nobody's going to say. You do it no matter what the family's going to say. Oh, I don't want them around. They just want to bring Jesus. They want to bring Jesus to the family picnics. They want to bring God all up in this. Yeah, I'm going to bring God up in this because you know what? You are living a godless life. You need him like I needed him like when I was back like that. So yeah, I'm going to bring him. But you know what? I'm not going to heap him on you because he's a gentleman. He said, I'm not going to come up on you if you don't want me. You know, so you know what? If you don't want me, he said, just like you told people, when you come to me, you go to these different villages, you go to these different houses, and you knock on the door, and you coming in the name of Jesus, and you say, you said, I come in the name of the Lord Jesus, and they don't want nothing to do with you. You know what God told you to do? Shake your feet, shake the dust off, and you keep it moving. You keep it moving. For the gospel of Jesus Christ, you keep it moving. Don't you let nobody stop your praise. Don't you let nobody stop what you're supposed to be doing in him. Because he has created you. He has created us to be in him. He has created us to live, move, and have our very being. And we get all that through him. But it's up to us to believe it. It's up to us to have it, to want it, to want him more than anything. To want him more than anything. I want him more than anything because I know he's my healer. He's my husband's healer. He's my family's healer. He's my church family's healer. He's our provider. He's our everything. He's our everything. Church family, don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed of who you are. Don't be ashamed to be a blood-bought child of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Who lives in each one of us. I got a few minutes left. If anybody has anything to say, you're more than welcome. But that's what he gave me. Not being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed.
Takes me back when he said, I'll leave the 99 for the one. And I bless God for coming back for me for that one because I lived in the world. I was of the world. I was in my mess. But when I heard the shepherd's voice, thank you, God. I can walk unashamed, unapologetic, standing flat foot. For God I live and for God I die. And the peace that I have over my life now, the peace over my kids' life, I thank God daily for it. So like First Lady said, you have to walk unashamed and unapologetic because he came back for us. He didn't die on the cross for our sins for us to live every day in sin. He died on the cross for us to love us, to walk in accordance to him, in the obedience of him. So I thank God for it.
Anybody else? If not, we'll close out our Sunday school lesson. I just thank God for the cross. I thank God for what he did for me. I thank God for being unapologetic and ashamed and not being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have one more.